Thank you, Jenna. That was beautiful. I feel so lucky, I guess you could say, so grateful to have a music director that does things that absolutely support the message and helps really open our hearts and delivers a good service for everyone. So I am just very appreciative. Thank you. Now that experience is not ubiquitous throughout the world of religion. In fact, I've heard a story of a small congregation in the lower 48, very fundamentalist Christian group, where the pastor and the song leader didn't exactly see eye to eye. And their conflict sort of spilled over into the Sunday service. In fact, one day the pastor got up and delivered an impactful sermon on being a giver. The song leader then promptly had the congregation stand up and sing, "Jesus Paid It All." The next week, he gave a great sermon on no gossiping. She led the congregation in singing, "I Love to Tell the Story." Finally, he had it, and right in the middle of the next week's sermon, he quit. He resigned. He says, "I can't take this anymore." He got up and he said, "You know, Jesus brought me to this pulpit, and Jesus can find me a new one." And she led the congregation in the song, "Oh, What a Friend We Have in Jesus." A young boy, young man, and his grandfather were talking one day. They talked about the amount of change in the world and how fast everything is changing. They talked about things like how the cell phone that kids in elementary school today have, powerful cell phones that are a million times faster than the computers that were used to calculate to get men to the moon. That the changes in the world are so fast and so vast, and that maybe not all of these changes are for the good. Sometimes maybe something important is lost. And that the young man, the boy, asked his grandpa, he says, "How do you feel about that, grandpa?" And grandpa said, "I feel as if though I have two wolves inside of me, and they are fighting. One wolf is a wolf of anger and hate and fear. The other is a wolf of peace and love and harmony." They sat in silence for a moment, and the young boy asked, "Which one wins, Grandpa?" And Grandpa says, "The one I feed." So the title of my talk today is Leftover Thinking. Well, what is leftover thinking? It's those thoughts and beliefs and attitudes that are still in our consciousness, even though we may have thought that we had gotten rid of them a long, long time ago. They have a way of resurfacing during the holidays. They also have a way of resurfacing through classes that you take, or in my cases, you teach. Our foundations class this fall, we just finished last week. When we did the segment on forgiveness, I had something come up that I thought I had released a long, long time ago. I had an issue with my high school football coach. And I carried that around for 40 years. And in practitioner training, I finally forgave the guy, and I think more importantly, I forgave myself. And I thought that I had put that little issue to rest. But when we did forgiveness in this foundations class, what came bouncing up? The old high school football coach. So I got to revisit that. That's some leftover thinking. So how do you dispose of our leftover thoughts? We do it by pacing ourselves, P-A-C-E. P is for positive, A is for attitude, C is for change, and E is for everything. P is for positive. Ernest Holmes. We will attract to us in our lives and conditions according to our thought. Things are but outer manifestations of the inner mental concepts. Thought is not only power, it is also the form of all things. The conditions that we attract will correspond exactly to our mental pictures. Put every negative thought out of your mind once and for all. A professor at Columbia University. Probjot Singh was his name. Was in 2007, I believe. He was viciously attacked and beaten. He was a Sufi, and they grow beards and they wear turbans. And because he had a beard and a turban, the fear in the United States was great, and a group of young men beat him within an inch of his life. He was asked later by an interviewer what he felt at the time, and he talked about the fear, and he talked about, you know, not knowing if he was going to live and everything else. Then the interviewer asked a unique question, asked him, well, how do you feel now? And his answer was profound. He said, I am filled with gratitude. Well, how can you be filled with gratitude? What do you have to be grateful for? And he said, a lot to be grateful for. I am grateful that I had already dropped my son off at daycare and he wasn't there. I am so grateful that day my wife didn't go with me and she wasn't there. And I am so, so grateful for the surgeons that were able to wire his jaw back together so that he can even do this interview. He was grateful. And that is what I mean by attitude. He had a different attitude. Another thing of beauty at our center, I don't know how Linda does it, because I give her these sketchy things. A lot of times I don't know what I'm going to say until the night before, and I give her this vague idea, and she comes up with some of the most amazing sacred readings. The situation is before me. I didn't choose it. I didn't want it, and yet here it is. I can resist it, avoid it, complain about it, and lie awake at night wishing it weren't so. My expectations have been blindsided and my dreams crushed. Probhas Singh did not ask to get beaten. In reality, what I do with the situation is way more important than the circumstance itself. I do my part by being the best me I can within it. Attitude. A is for attitude. United States Marine Corps Corporal Aaron Mankin was in an armored personnel character, basically a tank, when it hit an IED in Iraq, and the power of the blast blew the entire vehicle 10 feet into the air. He actually fell back down into the personnel carrier. It was engulfed with flames, and when he saw all the flames, he did what I think anybody would naturally do, and he gasped, and he inhaled smoke and fire and burned uniform. His flak jacket protected his chest, and his goggles protected his eyes, but everything else above the waist was burned. Four Marines died, 11 others were wounded. I was certain that I was going to be among the dead. People say your life passes before you. For me, I saw the people who meant the most to me. My mom, my dad, I was only semi-conscious, and then my girlfriend Diana's face popped into my head. I was thinking, these are my last thoughts. She is my last thought. And I focused on her face, because if I was going to die in war, I wanted to die with the thought of something worth fighting for, something worth dying for. My ears, nose, and mouth were gone, as were the thumb and index finger of my right hand. But when he saw Diana 3 months later, he asked her to marry him. And when she said yes, he knew that it wasn't because of the accident and his injuries that she fell in love with the man and not his body. He wrote, and I was very concerned when Jake and Maggie, my little brother and sister, then 8 and 7, came to see me in the hospital. I was their big brother. I was the Marine. I was invincible. That's how they saw me. But I didn't know that they would see me that way anymore. So I asked Jake, do you still think that Bubba, that's what they call me, is as strong and fast and tough as you used to? Jake didn't think about it at all. He said, well, yeah. And I looked at myself and I was bandaged and breathing hard. And I said, what makes you think that? And he said back to me, well, they tried to blow you up and couldn't. Eventually, he and his new wife had a baby girl. My worst fear for her as she grows up is she will be ridiculed or teased for the way I look. She had nothing to do with this. She can't do anything about my skin. It's not fair for her to carry any kind of a burden for me or to feel bad about her, me being less than. But you see, it's his attitude that changed. It was his attitude. Instead of going down the path of resentment and hate and fear, he chose a path of love and compassion and harmony. He chose to feed the other wolf. C is for change. Once again, Ernest Holmes wrote, it is the very nature of the universe that there should be continual change and variation. It is a living world, the creation of a living, creative intelligence, not a static world created by a God now dead or departed who has left it to decay. No, it is vital and alive. The mind that created it is not apart from it, but is always active in and through it. Change. There was a young executive, high potential. The big executives in the firm had identified him as a real go-getter, kind of guy we want. He worked long, long hours, continually strove to get ahead, and he advanced up the corporate ladder quickly. He got to the place where one day he knew he could afford it, and he went down and he bought a brand new fire engine red Jaguar convertible. And he was driving through the town that he was in, and he could seamlessly shift through the gears and accelerate, feeling the performance of this high precision machine that he was driving, and he was really pleased with himself. And he slowed down. He knew he was exceeding the speed limit. He slowed down just a little bit. He was contemplating raising the speed again when out from the side came a brick and hit his brand new Jaguar. He hit the brakes, threw it in reverse, backed up, looked down, and there between two cars, he saw a little boy. And he got out and he was furious. Look what you did to my brand new car. You fool, how could you do that? Why would you do such a horrible thing? The little boy was sitting between those two cars crying. And he says, I'm sorry, mister. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your car. I just needed to get somebody's attention. What do you mean? My brother fell and I can't get him up. And he looked back and there at the curb was a wheelchair. And tipped over and out of the wheelchair was a boy much bigger than the little boy that threw the brick. And he said, nobody would stop to help me and I can't get my brother back into this wheelchair. He fell off the curb and I need help. Would you help me, please? Well, this young executive did something powerful. He went back. He picked up the brother and he put him in. And he told the little boy, now you be careful. And you don't let him fall off the curb again. And he never got that dent in his door fixed. Because it served as a constant reminder the rest of the time that he owned that fancy fire engine red Jaguar, that oftentimes there's more than meets the eye to us. Change. Sometimes change can be good. E is for everything. Everything that we have talked about today works in every part of our lives. Pace. Positive attitude changes everything. Another quote from Aaron Mankin. There is so much in life that we cannot control, but what we can control is how we respond to what happens. For a conclusion today, I'll leave you with one final story. This is a story of a master carpenter. The guy was just an awesome carpenter. He'd worked his entire life. He built houses. He was an expert. And he announced to his boss that he was going to retire. And the boss thought about it and said, well, I understand, and that it's great. But he says, I want you to do one more house. He didn't want to do one more house. But his boss had been good to him, and so he decided, okay, I'll go ahead and do one more house. And as they worked on the house, he found himself taking shortcuts. Shortcuts that he hadn't taken in 40 years of carpentry. He found himself using just the material that he could get his hands on quickest, not selecting absolutely the best framing material, not doing absolutely the best, just taking the easy way. And he found himself doing that over and over, but he went ahead. It's one last house. Who cares? And at the end, when they finished the house and they were doing their final walkthrough, he and the big boss, they went through and they checked everything. They did that with almost all the houses they did. He walked through and he was glad it was over, and he knew that it was going to be the end. And the big boss said, okay, I need you to wait right here for a minute. What's this about? And so the boss came back in and he had a manila envelope. And inside the manila envelope was the deed to the house and the keys to the front door. That was his boss's gift to him. Pace. Positive attitude changes everything. But like our teaching symbol, where we can do, we can rethink it. And just like that carpenter, he knew where every flaw was. He knew every shortcut that he'd taken. He knew everything that he'd done, and he could go back and correct it. And that's how we are. We can go back and correct anything. Positive attitude changes everything. So I would like to now invite the practitioners, my partners in prayer, and holding our congregation in love and light, and just simply knowing the capital T truth for each and every person today. Knowing that there is indeed a power in the universe. And that power is for us. That power is a power for good. A power for good in our lives. And it makes no difference of what the appearance is in front of us that is anything less than peace, love, joy, harmony. It's temporary. The permanent things are peace, love, joy, harmony, abundance. So I speak my word for those who are facing challenges of abundance and prosperity. We just simply know that beyond this appearance, that there is an unlimited, infinite universe constantly conspiring for our own good. I speak my word for those who are facing health challenges, knowing that behind the appearance of disease, there is a pattern that is perfect. And it is that pattern that I embrace in this moment, right now. And lastly, I speak my word for anyone who is feeling separation. Separation from God, separation from one another. Makes no difference if the relationships are romantic relationships, work, family, friends. It's all the same because all of our relationships are God. It's all our relationship to that infinite power, that power for good in our lives. And so we just give thanks. We give thanks for good health. We give thanks for abundance. And we give thanks for the very love of God that's in our lives. And so now we just release these words to the working of a law that always responds. We let it go. We let it be. And so it is.
So it is.